people always talk about the parents not being responsible and so on and so forth. And that is probably the crux of it. This is why the New World Order targets the family massively. Because if you can... I think Germany practiced this quite well, in fact. They managed to indoctrinate children to not see their parents as their parents anymore, but they managed to see the Chancellor as the father and the state itself as their mother. If you can disassociate people from real parental instincts and replace it with something else, you destroy everything that is good and potentially capable within that child. And that's the very agenda, because it's our genius and our creativity and our love and our caring and our ability to suffer and overcome that is the very antithesis of evil.
And if we had some sort of rite of passage rituals for young people, that couldn't happen. You know?
Well, you know what we have? We have a 21st party where you drink a yard glass.
Right, exactly.
That's your rite of passage. Yeah. You know, you turn 21 and you drink large quantities of beer. Yeah, you're an adult.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Right. I know.
Yeah.
It's laughable and it's tragic.
But it's awesome to do. And as long as it's done in context, you know, I don't know about you when you were younger, but when I was a little bit younger, I guess I'm still pretty young now, but I like to party, I like to drink, I like to smoke.
Yep.
You know, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. So long as you're not just doing it to excess for no good reason whatsoever, there's sometimes where you just feel like, you know what? Frack it, I'm going to get really drunk tonight because I'm just effed off at everything and I'm just going to get really, really pissed. And then you wake up the next morning without a hangover, not feeling depressed at all, okay? You know, and it's that really strange sensation of knowing that you can imbibe in things that should ordinarily hurt you and destroy you or something, but because your intention is different, your intention isn't just to get wasted for the sake of being wasted, you actually have a reason for doing it. That's actually reasonably healthy. Many ancient cultures used to imbibe in certain substances at certain times in their lives and what have you. I mean, I had a friend who was... of a long line of Celtic druids, and indeed his family gave him a magic mushroom trip as a rite of passage, and guided him through it as a sort of like a spiritual thing, you know, that kind of thing. You have in Mexican culture, you have mescaline peyote in Amazonia, and you know you have ayahuasca and what have you. And it's occurred to me that the ingestion of substances accomplishes one thing, a skewed vision of reality. Now, a skewed vision of reality can either be a good thing or a bad thing. Are you skewing your vision of reality so that when you come back to it, you see it a hell of a lot more clearly and you really see it for what it is? Or are you trying to skew your vision of reality because you don't like it and you're trying to escape from it?
That's a really good question, and I think that those hallucinogenic experiences are very valuable, but I think they're only a step, and that we have to go further in the spiritual journey, in the journey inward to the deeper self, you know, kind of launching perhaps from those experiences, but taking them much further.
Yeah, indeed.
And without the substance.
And I think my brother told me of a what are they called? Are they called shaman or yogi a guru? Sorry, in India, and he was allegedly so spiritually enlightened that they gave him a tab of the world's strongest acid, and it did nothing. You know?
That's very believable. I've heard that story before.
And even if it's not true, it's still a good story. Mm-hmm. And it shows that one can achieve levels of spiritual awareness where substances that are made by man are nothing by comparison. You know, mm-hmm. they don't compare to be in direct touch with the divine is the most powerful drug of all. People say that love's the most powerful drug, and I don't think so. I think divinity is. Mm-hmm. And
well,
we struggle to find out.
Love is certainly part of divinity.
Oh yeah.
But being able to access that sacred power within oneself is the greatest drug of all. But yeah. It's not a drug.
Yeah. Well, see, and we talked during the break about how we're all addicted to some kind of substance or whatever.
Right.
You know, it's part of our culture. You know, I'm addicted to coffee, and so are you, and we love it. Can't get away from it. Yeah. You know, I tried to give up coffee one time, but the headaches and the lethargic kind of nature and everything is just it was just too much. You know, I can. Stopping smoking cigarettes, done that a couple of times. It's actually not that difficult, you know. It's not painful.
Right.
It's not traumatic or whatever. Taking away coffee, on the other hand, it becomes an essential part of your life. It's almost like your adrenal glands don't work without it. You become so dependent on it, and this is what happens with a lot of people who are on pharmaceutical drugs and what have you. Is that come down? I watched a video of myself today protesting outside a Child, Youth and Family Services, our equivalent of the CPS, where I was talking about how they forcibly drug children with made-up mental disorders in order to justify it, and how sometimes those children, or even sometimes adults, will go off of that medication and they have a complete breakdown. Not because the medication was keeping them stable, but because it kept them dependent. And without that substance, their body was simply unable to function any longer. Mm-hmm. They grow it on you. And this is what's happening to society now. We're becoming dependent on drugs, not because we actually want to have a good time and we want to actually go through a rite of passage or anything like that.
No.
We just want it just to stay normal, ironically enough.
Well, you know, Jung said that there are sacred initiations, like the rite of passage that I spent a lot of time describing, and there are profane initiations. And most of the initiations in our culture are profane ones, in which we don't, the purpose is not to access any kind of spiritual core. The purpose is to escape, or the purpose is to feel good, or, you know, feel better about ourselves, or whatever, or because somebody has told us that we need that particular drug in order to function.
Mm.
So, we, you know, the world is filled with profane initiations and in a dearth of sacred ones.
Well, I think the world itself is becoming merely a kind of a cosmic profanity in and of itself. No other species is doing that to this planet. Only
That's
us.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
And this goes back to where we started off in the beginning, talking about personal responsibility, because I think it's like, here's a good story here. My brother told me this one as well a number of years ago about the origin of the drug ecstasy. You know how they call it E? Apparently, the E originally stood for empathy. And it was a drug that was given to violent fathers. They'd go home to their children, pop an E, and they'd never lay a hand on them again. So effective was it that they made it illegal. You know, and, that was actually quite profound for me to hear that, because it occurs to me that we are losing as a human race our empathy for other people. We stop caring about other people. We're becoming self-centered and shallow, I think. You know, so many of us suffer from this terrible shallowness that is so disgusting. It's like black mold on the walls of a home, eating it away and poisoning everybody that walks into it.
Well, again, it's that absence of community, because one of the things community does is it helps us care about other people and realize that we're not the center of the universe. Mm. And when we don't have that, you know, in these narcissistic developing countries, then we lose all empathy. Mm. And, you know, we become the center of the universe. And, you know, you look at, you know, most animals live in community. And you look at the some of the stories, you see viral videos on YouTube all the time of animals that, you know, one will die and the other one will just stay there and stay there and stay there for hours and days beside the dead body of that other animal. You know, it's like you don't see that kind of loyalty in the human species that much.
Mm-hmm. In fact, there are many... There's so many examples of the human species doing these amazing acts of empathy and love and caring and mm-hmm, what have you. Mm-hmm. But what does the news report on?
Yeah.
Death, exactly. War, destruction, yeah. Murder, disease. Mm-hmm. And here's a fluffy kitten.